I absolutely love this movie.
I agree.
So I feel
this is going to be a gush fest.
Yeah. This is going to be a shameless plug right now for something else I did on the NAI Pop Network.
You know what? I knew you guys did it, and I knew I wasn't invited, despite the fact that I was going to invite myself to it. So I'm just going to start this show off with, hello, this is That Movie Show. I am Mike Wendt, Liam Stryker, Bill Neville behind the board.
Hello.
And I will let you just do whatever you did on For the Pops. Go right ahead.
So I was invited on For the Pops, which is available on the NAI Pop Network.
I was not invited.
No, you were not invited, which I brought up to Jamie after the fact. I was like, this should have been a movie show For the Pops crossover.
Seriously, we could have done a hair versus hair match.
Yeah, we could have. It would have been great. And we did all of the Marvel movies ranked, and which is...
That's like my jam, by
right.
the way.
Well, it also stole a gimmick from another NAI Pop staple, which has to come back at some point. We'll figure that out. But the town hall podcast, where we pick up.
I haven't been invited to any town halls.
We haven't.
Not
done...
even local ones in my town.
Yeah, right. Well, that's for a different reason. But we haven't done a town hall, an NAI town hall, in a long time. So
I've been invited to the Magic Kingdom's town hall.
Ooh, was that fun? Did you meet Mickey?
I did. He talked to me. He said my name.
And he blinked.
And he blinked, and a tear shed from my eye.
Yeah. So
go on. Do your thing. I will not interrupt.
But go on over and check out that For the Pops. It's a two-part episode where we break down all of the Marvel movies and crown a winner of which one of the Marvel movies released so far is the best. So
is it released already?
I know that the first part is. I'm not sure if the second part is. Actually, no, it is, because I won the For the Pops quiz.
Okay.
And I promoted that. I did that. So, yeah, both episodes are up.
So, Ken, on this show, which is, of course, dropping every Monday on the NAI Pop Network, can you tell us who won?
I'm in charge, so of course I can.
Great.
The answer is...
Fucking great.
The Avengers was the one that ended
this
up...
This movie.
This movie won.
So this is like the culmination. This is why I was invited.
Right.
But because this won,
yeah.
This is like the culmination show.
Right, right. This is the post-rap. Sure.
Sure.
Yeah, it came down to The Avengers and Thor Ragnarok. Those were...
Really?
Those were the two movies that...
That would not be my number two.
Yeah. So...
Huh. Interesting. Let's break down a few of them. Give me a few of the top fives.
To be perfectly honest, I don't quite remember.
What were yours?
You have
to remember your top five Marvel movies. I mean, there's been...
Well, there are my
them.
Top five Marvel movies, but the ones that we did on there, it was a bracket style. So,
sure, that's fine.
So I don't remember which one.
But there's no rules. This is extreme rules.
Sure.
So what were your top five?
My top five, I love the Avengers, the first Avengers.
Yep.
Thor Ragnarok. Sure. I really liked Black Panther.
Okay.
I love Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
That's
my number one, to be honest with you. I'm just going to throw it out there. That's my number one.
That's probably my number one as well. And then Captain America Civil War.
Yeah.
Or Avengers 2.5.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That works.
Yeah.
I'm with you pretty much. I would have thrown, honestly, what was your second one?
Well, I just threw them out there in no order.
Thor Ragnarok. That was it. I don't know. I would have bobbled, I think, between Black Panther and Guardians 2.
Guardians, yeah. Both the Guardians. I really like the first Iron Man.
The Guardians 2, I felt I just laughed throughout the entire thing.
It was great. It was a delightful film.
The first one, I understood they needed to set up the characters and all the stuff. But the second one, I just laughed throughout the whole fucking movie.
Right. We were able to do it. And obviously the reason why we're doing Avengers this week is because on Friday...
Everybody's going to die.
The Infinity War is going to start.
Josh Brolin's going to fuck some people up this month.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to see what they
Between Thanos and... Cable, he is having a hell of a spring.
Yeah, it's weird. That's the weird one to me, because I think that there's a chance that Deadpool's in this movie.
I would love for that to happen, by the way.
You know?
It can.
Yeah.
Legally.
Yep. All of it. All of it can legally
happen.
The
mouse owns the pool.
Yeah, he does. He does.
It's... I love it.
So it'll be very interesting. I'm very excited. So we're recapping the movie that started it all.
Yes. Well, you say
sort
that.
Sort of. Iron Man...
That assembled them all.
It assembled them all. There it is. There it is.
Assembled them all. Yes, we are. We are covering today on That Movie Show, Marvel's The Avengers.
Yeah, because The Avengers is a terrible movie with Sean Connery.
It is, and it's weird that if you look it up, it's actually categorized under M. Like, alphabetically, this movie is categorized under
Marvel's.
M because Marvel's The Avengers is the actual title. It was released on April 11th, 2012. It had a $220 million budget. I believe this is the biggest budget that movie show has covered.
Yeah, yes, easily.
And it's also the first comic book movie to reach $1 billion. $1.519 billion, to be exact.
This movie was a juggernaut. This movie also captured the magic that DC has been searching for. The blueprint that they laid out at the beginning of the first Iron Man film.
Well, the bitch of it is that the DC isn't following the blueprint.
No, and that's the most insane part
about it. They basically saw, well, the Avengers made $1 billion. Let's just do a bunch of that movie.
Right.
Instead of like, oh, well, they also had Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, Thor, you know, Captain America, the movies before it. Well, they set up this fucking movie.
And it's a set. It's a tale of two cities, right? And it's the right way and the wrong way.
Right.
Because Marvel, they went through and everybody got their own individual film, with the exception of Black Widow and Hawkeye, right?
Which
I'm fine with. They were introduced in other movies because Hawkeye's in Thor,
and then Black Widow's in Iron Man 2.
So we got to know those characters, and giving them all of the backstory of who these people are, we're able to just...
And does ScarJo really need
no,
a backstory?
No, and neither does Hawkeye.
She just needs a tight suit. God damn, that woman is gorgeous.
Right. But this movie, all of the exposition
and
of,
Jeremy Renner, God damn, that man is gorgeous.
He is gorgeous. Those eyes. Oh, those eyes.
2018, gotta keep woke, boy.
Yeah, right. They do a great job of just, this movie just goes.
Yes.
Right? Because we know who everybody is.
That's what I thought. I watched it last week, and I watched it again with the commentary track. Watching it without the commentary track, I had this, I really thought this movie was quick.
Yeah.
It just moved.
Just moves.
Just moved. And then I was watching it with the commentary track. Josh Whedon was the director, and I watched it with his commentary track, which was moderately insightful. Not the most insightful commentary track, but moderately insightful. But it did drag a little bit, and it had me reaching for the Blu-ray box and being like, how long is this? It's over 2 hours long.
Yes.
It's 2:23.
It's jam-packed with action.
But
so
if you're watching it just as a fucking movie, it moves.
It moves. Because we're on from set piece to set piece.
Over the last how many years, how many Marvel movies have you come away? I mean, we said it on an earlier episode when we talked briefly about Black Panther. There were dead zones.
Right.
Where you're like, it just felt long.
Right.
You know, this movie didn't feel long. I feel that's why Guardians 2 rises itself in my personal category, because Guardians 2 didn't feel long because it was a funny movie and the jokes just kept coming.
Right.
This one, the action just kept coming.
Yep.
Winter Soldier, action just kept coming.
Well, because they're hitting you with, the Winter Soldier
is... It's a comic book movie. I don't give a fuck about your politics.
Right. Yeah. It's fantastic. It was just great. Mm. Joss Whedon had a plan, executed the plan, and the plan was executed perfectly, because it is that blend. Like, Joss Whedon is one of my favorite entertainment creators.
Okay.
Because of the way that he blends action and humor. Mm-hmm. If you ever watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer or Firefly, which are his two big...
I know those are his things. I wasn't a fan.
They do a great job of blending humor and action.
Sure.
And so this has a, multi-million dollar budget. And so, it's...
$220 million.
To be exact.
To be exact.
To be exact. He did a great job with it because the characters were funny when they needed to be funny.
Yep.
They were witty when they needed to be witty.
Yep.
And they were kick-ass when they needed to kick-ass.
Very much.
And the ensemble was perfect, especially in a film where you see people just get thrown together. The ones that I always kind of point to are the, like, the Valentine's Day movies, where it's like,
oh, okay,
you, where
the holiday movies, where everybody, you get every name actor who's not doing anything at that moment.
Yeah, they're the all in the
like
movie.
You said, Valentine's Day, New Year's Day, right? You know, Mother's Day,
right? Basically, it's like Jennifer Lawrence, Ben Affleck, Jennifer Gardner, Brad Pitt,
Julia Roberts, and Robert De Niro seem to show up in a lot of these.
Right, and you're like, how is this movie possible? But they're all in it for 20 minutes.
The only people who have really done that right have been Love Actually.
Right, correct.
And of course, we got to throw it to the Brits to do that right.
But this
we got to let them do Christmas correct.
This is a movie where you're looking at it and it's like Jeremy Renner, Scarlett Johansson, mm-hmm. Samuel L. Jackson, Robert Downey Jr.,
yep.
Chris Hemsworth,
yep.
Mark Ruffalo,
yep.
you know, Chris Evans. Like, there's so many people in this movie. Tom Hiddleston.
The funny thing about it, a lot of these people weren't
huge,
for lack of a better term, known outside of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Correct.
I mean, Robert Downey Jr., Samuel Jackson, Scarlett Johansson, yes.
But at the same...
rest of them were kind of independently known.
Right.
You know, they were known on the independent level. Like Chris Evans, I remember, just a cheap plug for Wicked Bites, I interviewed Chris Evans at Fenway Park.
Yeah, because he's a local guy.
He is. And he popped huge when I brought up the movie London. He did. Okay. It was an independent movie he did in 2005 with, at the time, he was actually dating her, Jennifer Biel. Or okay. Jessica Biel. And it was like, I loved that movie. He, when I brought it up, he liked the fact I knew about it, but I felt that he didn't really enjoy making
it. Yeah, probably.
Because he actually came out, he was like, oh, you must have been in a horrible relationship to enjoy that movie. I'm like, well, I liked it. Sorry, dude. You know what I mean? One of those types of moments where I'm like, I liked movies other than the Captain America shit that you've done.
Right.
But
watch Snowpiercer.
That's what everybody told me, actually. Yeah. Literally every comment on the YouTube fucking video was, watch Snowpiercer. I still haven't. Whatever. Fuck it. I will get to
it.
But my point is that even Chris Evans, who's Captain America, was more of an independent actor.
Well, because also looking at this at the time, this was part of Robert Downey Jr.'s comeback tour.
And
right?
You're also talking about $220 million. $50 million of that was Robert Downey Jr.
Right.
That he got paid. I'm not even bullshitting. He got paid $50 million for this movie.
Right.
And this is just the first Avengers movie.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like like you said, it was his comeback tour. But I mean, when he did Iron Man, it was a huge gamble.
Right.
He was the guy that for many years, once he got out of jail, couldn't be insured by movie studios.
Right.
You know, many, many, many movie studios had to pass on him because of his past reputation.
Correct.
While he's a great actor. He was a great actor. He was always a great actor.
He's never not been a great actor.
He's very much the Charlie Sheen-esque, as this current generation has come to know. Charlie Sheen type of character, where it's like, great actor, always does a great performance, always puts on great characters, but his personal life has overshadowed everything.
Right.
Well, Robert Downey Jr. has really eclipse that.
Correct.
Where he proved.
He's the triumph story I don't think Charlie Sheen up until this point has proven that he can overcome it. You know what?
I say he hasn't been given a chance.
Sure.
He hasn't been given a chance.
Sure.
There's a couple guys, okay? Charlie Sheen, all right, I hypothetically and jokingly say he hasn't been given a chance. But realistically, and Robert Downey Jr. has actually gone on record to say this, and this is in all sincerity, Mel Gibson needs a comeback.
Yes.
Mel Gibson has served his penance, and he needs a fucking comeback. The man is a brilliant actor in everything he does. There is an independent movie, and this has nothing to do with the Avengers, but there is a brilliant independent movie called The Blood Father. You can find it on demand, and he did it probably last year, maybe 2 years ago. It's fucking amazing. It is an amazing independent movie. Another one, Get the Gringo.
Yes.
Both of them independent movies that he produced himself, but they're just brilliant. It's Mel Gibson.
Right.
Come on. Of all the fucking businesses in the world, Hollywood forgives.
Right.
Give him. He's due.
He is. He is due. But now to swing back to the actual plot of the movie.
I am a Mel Gibson fan. Sorry.
Yeah. The movie starts off hot, where we have S.H.I.E.L.D. in a compact on a compound that's
NASA.
They're at NASA.
Yeah.
But it's exploding because they have the cosmic cube there.
The Tesseract.
The Tesseract.
Yep.
The cosmic cube. And they're running.
Is that what it's actually called in the comics?
The cosmic cube.
Because you keep saying that with eyes rolling.
Yes.
Okay, so it's called the cosmic cube in
correct.
Comic books.
It's the same thing. Tesseract, cosmic cube, same thing.
Okay.
Yeah, they're.
Because
yes.
Full disclosure, I only have seen these movies.
Oh,
I've never watched
yes.
the comics.
That's fine. It's
so
a
I know
dorky...
that I know what they have told me up
right.
until this point.
Yeah, same thing.
All right.
Same thing.
Fair enough.
So
the cosmic cube is a Tesseract.
Right. And so they are doing experiments on it.
Yep.
And Loki shows up from out of nowhere.
And we have Stellan Skarsgård from Thor.
Yep.
And we have Jeremy Renner from Thor.
Yep.
And we have Sam Jackson from all of them.
From all of them.
Yeah.
And Colby Smulders.
From all the post-credit scenes.
Right, from all the post-credit scenes. And Colby Smulders.
Yes, who was excellent.
From How I Met Your Mother.
Well, that too.
That was my favorite meme about that was popping up around the Avengers, where it was like, it was in the summer of 2012, your Aunt Robin joined the S.H.I.E.L.D.
As someone who didn't watch the show, what did she play on that?
She played a news reporter, but she was a gun-toting Canadian. So,
How I Met Your Mother had a gun-toting Canadian news reporter.
Yeah, that was one of the main characters. She's very good. She was very fun.
All right, I guess I gotta watch that show now.
Yeah,
Netflix. So, thank you.
Yeah, it's all on Netflix.
It is on Netflix.
So you can enjoy it there.
Yeah.
But having so they show up and Loki comes in and brainwashes.
Oh, he fucks shit up.
He does right away.
He doesn't just brainwash. He just starts blowing people away with his big scepter.
Yeah, he's got a big old scepter that was given to him by Thanos.
Yep.
And he...
Well, kind
of. Sort of. Thanos' bitch.
Thanos' ish.
Yeah, right. And so he takes over Jeremy Renner and,
yeah,
like, mind controls him. And Dr. Selig? I believe it's Selig.
Selvig.
Dr. Selvig.
Stellan Skarsgård.
Yeah. So they steal the cube and they...
From Good Will Hunting, which you can find in the archives here at NAI Pop.
Yeah, very fun. They get in a car and they get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
They just get the fuck out. And that causes the entire
Yeah, but Colby Smulders has some cool-ass action shit. Which, again, I watched it a second time with the commentary. She did her own stunts.
Oh, awesome.
And she was like... Josh Whedon was like, I'm going to keep calling him Josh. I know it's Joss, but
yeah.
I can't make my mouth do that every time. So Josh Whedon, actually, because he was filming in 3D and he was, you know, consciously he was filming in 3D, he wanted to hold on certain shots.
Right.
And there was that shot. He's like, I wanted to hold a little bit longer, not for the 3D, but for the fact that Colby Smulders does her own stunts, and when she shoots, and then rolls behind the thing, he's like, I just wanted to keep that whole fucking thing in frame.
Yeah.
It was kind of,
one
of maybe a handful of cool things in a 2.5-hour movie that I found interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sequence where they're driving along, I don't know what that set is, but it's popped up in another movie. The other movie that I saw that in was Fast and Furious, which is the fourth Fast and Furious movie.
Actually, he might have mentioned that in the commentary.
Yeah, so I haven't watched.
He might have. Were you saying that? Rings a bell.
So I haven't watched this movie. Oddly enough, for as much as I love Joss Whedon, I haven't actually watched it with the DVD commentary on.
Yeah.
But that was the thing that I remembered from that sequence was. It had to have been when Fast and Furious came out because there's a sequence in that movie where they have to like go under a mountain pass,
yep. Mm-hmm.
And it's that, and they have to race through that canyon.
Right.
So I don't know if it's a real life location or if it's a.
I would assume it has to be.
Or they built it.
Or at least it's a set location that's just gonna stay as. Action movie set 14.
Well, I wonder, because part of me wonders if the Fast and the Furious built it, and then they just were like, oh, we could use that.
I mean, which one was shot first?
I think Fast and Furious.
No idea.
I have no idea.
Either.
I also don't really care.
Yeah.
So then it's time to assemble the Avengers.
Yes.
And so now we go on a little bit of a tour.
Mm-hmm.
We have Sam Jackson coming up and finding a very defrosted Captain America who's just beating the shit out of heavy bags.
Okay, so here's something if you own the Blu-ray and you have dived into the deleted scenes, knows that There was actually about 40 minutes of Captain America trying to assimilate himself to the current day.
Yeah.
This whole, even just the heavy bag scene was extended itself.
Yeah.
Like, it was a lot more of him just, it was all about isolation.
Right.
Like, he was a fish out of complete water.
Right.
It was him going through different files, who, you know, people from his platoon, who was dead, who was not.
Right.
Tony Stark's dad was dead. He saw the, what's her name?
Sharon Carter. Peggy.
Peggy Carter, yes.
Peggy Carter.
Yes. You know, he saw her file, tried to call her on his makeshift cell phone.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of that.
There's a part later.
That obviously didn't need it to be.
Right. The only thing that I wish they kind of kept in was the stuff with the waitress.
Yes.
Because it's weird. It pays off. And it's weird in the movie.
Yeah.
Because they pay
attention. A little bit.
They pay attention to this waitress for no reason. And it's like, oh, well, if we had this other stuff, it would have made more sense.
The bitch of it is it feels like they're setting her up for something to come,
right?
Whereas they were actually paying off something that was deleted,
right? Correct. That is exactly weird about it.
But she does show up in the newsreel, so you kind of get that assimilation. Okay, yeah. Well, they were just giving you that thing so he could save her.
Yeah. So Sam Jackson assembles the Avengers.
Kind of.
Tony Stark has the Stark Tower.
He does have the Stark Tower.
That becomes self-sufficient because he's being the...
Agent Paul Coulson.
Yes.
Shows up, and Gwyneth Paltrow is in a very short pair of shorts.
Yes, she is.
That's all I remember about that fucking scene.
Yeah, and then...
Great legs.
So basically, Tony Stark takes a look at all the stuff, finds out that the Tesseract has been lifted by Loki, mm-hmm. and he's going to be brought in to try and help locate it.
Correct.
But again, at this point...
But he hasn't committed.
Right, he hasn't...
Because he was kind of... He was pissed because he was kind of kicked out of the Avengers.
Yeah. He's like, I don't play well with others. I'm not allowed in the Avengers and all this other stuff. So they finally locate where Loki is going to be because Jeremy Renner needs an eyeball and Loki has to make
a
distraction.
Again, Hawkeye is under his command.
Correct.
So as a slave is under his command, he goes to Germany.
Yes. And so...
Awesome.
Right. And so there's a really cool sequence where Loki is berating the people mm-hmm. of this gala event. And it's a really cool moment because Captain America shows up.
As you do.
After this guy stands up, because Loki's whole thing is you're all going to be subjugated to me.
All right. It's very Hitler-esque.
It is. It is.
And this old German man stands up
and says,
as you would, we are not going to do this again.
Right.
And as he's about to be blasted into smithereens from Loki's scepter.
Right.
Captain America shows up, and there's a tussle.
Yeah, and so Captain America and Loki fight, and right as Loki gets the upper hand, the best Iron Man reveal...
Fucking fantastic.
...takes over the sound system.
Thank God they paid the money for AC motherfucking DC.
Yeah.
It was great.
Everything about it is... This is perfect, because...
Perfect.
If you... Let's just say hypothetically, right?
Sure.
Because... This movie has 5 movies of backstory.
Yep.
So you should have watched those before seeing this. But let's say you don't.
Which I love about these Marvel movies.
Right. Because everything I need to know about Iron Man is shown in that scene mm-hmm. where he's a sassy bitch.
Yep.
He's a sassy bitch. He shows up and...
A sassy bitch.
Yeah. Shows up, kicks some ass.
Yep.
Immediately. Has a bunch of witty retorts and like...
All done to a badass theme song.
Right. I know everything I need to know about Iron Man.
He is CM Punk.
Right. Everything I need to know about Iron Man, I found out in that time. Right? So now, Loki gives himself up.
Sure.
As you do.
As you do.
And then...
That's going to be a t-shirt, by the way. That's our first That Movie Show t-shirt. Yeah. As you do.
As you do. And so, they're taking him back to a helicarrier. And as they're taking him back to the helicarrier, Thor shows up.
And again, the most Thor-y type
right.
way. He shows up landing on the roof of the plane, covered in fucking lightning.
Yeah. Shows up, just takes Loki and takes off.
Yep.
One of the lines that I think is very, very funny in this movie, mm-hmm. where he's Captain America gets on, he gets the parachute on and is about to jump off the plane,
yep.
chasing after Loki and Thor.
Yep.
And he's like, they're gods. And Captain America just turns around and goes, there's only one God. And he's not.
He
them
doesn't
or
dress
me.
Like that.
He does. There's only one God, ma'am. And he doesn't dress like that.
Okay. First of all, fantastic line. Very hokey Americana.
Yeah.
But again, if you have the Blu-ray, go to the fucking bloopers reel and watch Chris Evans try to get that fucking parachute on. It is a nightmare.
Oh, that's so funny.
It looks like, okay, so the whole blooper took about 3 minutes, which means the whole shoot took about 30 minutes.
Yeah, right.
It took him 30 minutes to just hoist that whole thing on, and all of a sudden he gets it and he thinks, he's like, all right, cool. And he's like, ready. Oh, shit, this didn't work. It was one of the better blooper reels a Blu-ray has provided us. But, yeah please go take a look. So then they go down into this cavernous, I don't know, rock place.
Yeah, they're in the middle of the woods.
They're in the Animal Kingdom. Hashtag Animal Kingdom 20. Happy 20th anniversary, Animal Kingdom.
Oh, very fun.
And so Loki and Thor are fighting for a hot minute.
They're arguing.
Bickering, as brothers do.
Yeah,
even though they're half brothers or
yeah,
adopted
whatever.
Brothers,
yeah,
or whatever,
whatever
fucking narrative you want to go through.
Yeah, sure.
And so then the Metal Man shows up.
Yeah, and so Thor and Iron Man fight. Tony Stark being a sassy bitch, being like, "What are you doing? It's Shakespeare. It looks like Shakespeare in the Park." He goes, "Does your mother know you wear her, doth wear her drapes?"
Completely improvised by Robert Downey Jr. That was an improv line.
Of course it
not
was.
Not a scripted line. Doth mother know you dost wear her drapes? No. Not part of the script. Just Robert Downey Jr. being in the fucking audio studio.
Yeah.
Saying, fuck off.
Yeah.
This is hilarious.
Yeah. Does your mother
He's wearing a fucking red cape.
Yeah. Right? So there's a big, huge fight between the two of them.
Yes, there is.
Captain America shows up and defuses the fight in a hilarious way.
Uh-huh.
Because Thor goes to strike thunderous lightning and Cap blocks it with the shield and everything gets destroyed and they all just look at each other like one of those like, huh, shit. Well, what do we do now?
One of my favorite moments of that hasn't been, I don't believe anyway, and correct me if I'm wrong, hasn't been revisited in the Avengers series is Thor summons lightning.
Yeah.
Fires it at Iron Man.
Right.
Iron Man, all of a sudden Jarvis goes, power is 400%. He's like,
right.
Oh, cool. Boom.
Right. At no point has Thor struck him with lightning on purpose.
Why wouldn't, like, when you have Ultron in front of you, why not be like, hey, Thor, give me some. Oh, he wasn't. No, he was there.
Yeah, he was there.
He was there.
Yeah.
Thor, give me some fucking lightning. I want 400%. Bang.
Right. Right.
You know, why wouldn't that be part of Tony's repertoire?
Yeah, at no point.
Because that's the coolest part of the whole fucking thing. It's like, holy shit, you can destroy 400% of all of this.
Right. It'll be very interesting because, so there's a couple of things in the big fight scene that I don't know if they did it on purpose, but it's stuff that I've recognized. There's a game for the PlayStation, PlayStation 2, 3, and Xbox.
Cool.
360 called Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
All right.
And so it's very fun. It's a ton of fun if you like comic book video games, and it has a huge roster. It's a ton of fun. But basically, the different heroes can team up in different ways.
Right.
And one of the things is that thing where Captain America's blocking with his shield and Iron Man's shooting the shield and they're like just killing a bunch of people.
They completely glossed over that.
Yeah.
It happened.
Yes.
But it was like, boom, boom, gone.
Yeah, it's just this cool thing. And so,
which I kind of like.
Yeah.
Don't draw too much attention.
Right. And so that's kind of a thing that's happening with the whole team up. And I think that they could have done that a little bit more. But
and maybe that's just them giving us a little, like, I'm guessing that was part of the comic.
Because
I know in Civil War, when there's that shot between the door and it's the two of them and Iron Man is shooting and there's a shield and it's that big, you know, centerpiece type thing. I know that was part of the comic. It's been posted all over the place.
It's iconic.
So maybe it was that kind of thing where it's like, oh, fuck, they did that.
Right.
But we don't have to spend 20 minutes on them just shooting bang, bang, bang.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. Same thing. So that's kind of what I think that the Thor 400% thing is too.
So was that you thinking that was part of the comic?
Something. It's like, it's just like a
I just think, you know, in a story you're telling, that's a little bit of a flaw that they haven't gone back to that.
It's
holy shit, I can get 400%?
Yeah, right.
Thor, give me some light.
give me some juice, baby.
Bitch, give me some lightning.
Give me some juice. So they all stand around, look at each other, and just go, all right, you want to go for pizza? Yeah, let's go for pizza.
They completely just give up.
Yeah, they're just like, oh, I guess we're okay now.
Yeah.
We got all the aggression out. So now,
fucking, we're cool, man.
So now everybody's on the helicarrier, and this is a huge part. Like,
well, we didn't get to Romanoff finding Banner.
Oh yeah, that's what
she
doing.
Does in one of the coolest scenes in action spy movie history, where she just gets given the phone and it's like, this dummy's about to give up all this shit. And then it's like, okay, hang on a second. Put me on hold. And the guy takes the thing. She busts out the shit.
Yeah, she just kicks a bunch of ass.
Scarlet just kicks so much
ass. And again, this is another scene where if I didn't see Iron Man 2, I know what Scarlett Johansson.
You didn't need any precursor.
Right.
This is Black Widow. She's a badass.
Right.
And she's a badass that takes no shit.
Right. And so the only thing she is afraid of is the Hulk.
Which is, again, established.
Right.
And I'll say it right off the bat. Mark Ruffalo, my favorite Hulk.
Oh, he's the
best.
And
I know it's not going out too far on a limb. But for a Hulk that hasn't had his official movie, I hope he doesn't.
Yeah.
I hope he stays this type of Hulk, which is secondary to
I'm
going to
show up and stuff.
Absolutely.
Because
I don't need a Mark Ruffalo-led Hulk movie.
Because Thor Ragnarok was as much a Hulk movie.
Hulk. Yeah.
It was as much a Hulk movie as it was a Thor movie. Mm-hmm. So that's it. That's it. I don't need another
Edward
Norton.
Do stuff like
once.
That.
Right.
That's fine.
Right.
That's fine. And, you know, if this is all said and done, whoever's contract is still left, put Hulk in there.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? I don't know whose contract is done. I know a lot of them are done at Avengers 4, but we'll get there.
Right.
So she finds Banner.
Right. And so they're in Calcutta.
Calcutta.
They're in Calcutta. And so, she ends up recruiting him in a very interesting conversation between the two of them.
Right.
Because he basically scares the daylights out of her by...
in a cheeky way.
Right.
He yells at her and does kind of and almost greens up.
Right.
But then pulls right back as she draws a gun right to his face. And he's like, that was a cheap move.
Yeah.
He's like, that was a bad joke.
Yeah, right.
Wow, you're kind of a dick.
Yeah, a little
bit. Which I like. I love the sarcasm.
Well, he also doesn't want to be there. He knows how dangerous he is, and he doesn't want to be there.
Right.
But it also establishes how this woman, who minutes earlier, we established as an absolute ass kicker.
Right.
And she's terrified of the Hulk. She's terrified of him.
Despite all she's rocking is two little Glocks.
Yeah, she is very, very scared of this green monster.
Yep.
Right? And
literally the only thing.
Right. And that pays off later. That pays off later in a great, great way. So now they have Loki on the helicarrier.
Yep.
There's a funny scene where Captain America gives Sam Jackson $10 because he's like, I'm not going to be surprised by anything anymore.
Yep.
And he was surprised by the aircraft carrier turning into a helicopter. And
fun fact about that I learned in the commentary, the whole helicarrier scene, the outside.
Yep.
They had two actual planes. The rest was digital.
Okay.
And it was actually shot on a runway in the desert. Weird. So the water was sand.
Oh, cool.
So all the water you see was actually sand, and they basically had a runway that was the helicarrier.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
And they digitally put all the stuff around.
Yeah, it. It's really cool when you look at stuff like that, like VFX
that,
stuff.
That stuff interests me. Him just gushing over each and every fucking character.
Performance. Like, I love the performance of so-and-so.
It wasn't even that. I would have liked that if he told me who he liked working with. It was more just him just babbling. It was a lot. It was 2.5 hours of babbling with the occasional like, oh, by the way, this was the desert.
Yeah, right. We did this in the desert.
This was an airstrip in Arizona that we kind of painted.
Interesting.
Cool.
So now Jeremy Renner shows up to free Loki, and that's when everything goes to hell because Jeremy Renner destroys one of the turbines.
Yep.
Then the plane is going to go down. And this throws everything into chaos because everybody's kind of pointing fingers at each other. The team still hasn't gotten on the same page yet. And I think it's...
One of my favorite parts of this movie was Tony Stark poking and prodding Bruce Banner in that geeky scientific way.
Right.
Where they're clearly on the same page. They want the same thing.
Right.
But he also... wants to see, as you saw in the trailer, he wants to see the big green rage monster. He wants to see him.
Right.
So it's like, oh, here's all this fun stuff, and we have all this R&D stuff, and all this fun fucking shit, and you're a genius, and I'm a genius, and bzzz.
Yeah, right.
The fuck?
Well, because he's scientifically interested. The other interesting part about this is Nick Fury plays a great distrustful foil, right?
Yeah.
Because all of the Avengers know that they feel like they can trust each other, but they don't feel like they can trust Nick Fury.
No, absolutely.
And that's what's interesting, because ultimately it's proven to be true, because ultimately they end up fighting for a false flag.
Right.
You know, and that's all Nick Fury.
Another fun fact about that, the little scene between Robert Downey Jr. and Mark Ruffalo. Actually, it's more just about Robert Downey Jr. During the filming of it, he was actually hiding food throughout the set.
Okay.
And in that scene, the cute little exchange with the blueberries,
right,
were actually just him
eating blueberries.
He had hid shit all over the set, and he was just walking around the set eating his own bag of blueberries, and he's just like, meh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Want some blueberries?
Want some blueberries?
But that,
Another
whole fun facts.
So finally, because of Jeremy Renner's just blowing stuff up.
Oh, he's blowing all kinds of shit.
The Hulk gets released on the helicarrier.
Kind of.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because basically, Mark Ruffalo and Scarlett
Johansson. The whole idea of Loki being captured was to release the Hulk.
Correct, because you want the Hulk to destroy everything.
Because even when they locked him in, he said to Sam Jackson, he's like, this wasn't meant for me.
Right.
And he knew.
It was for somebody a lot stronger.
The Banner was on the helicarrier.
Right.
And that's how Scarlett Johansson's cross, you know.
Her interrogation.
Her interrogation.
She figures out it's going to be...
it's going to be for him. So they're all bickering and all that bullshit. And then, yes.
Yeah, and so the Hulk gets released and starts chasing Scarlett Johansson. And it's...
freaking phenomenal.
Right, and it pays off to her fear. You feel like she's very, very vulnerable in that moment, which is really, really cool and refreshing.
Yep.
Then it throws down to one of the best fights in the movie, and that's Thor versus... the Hulk.
Yeah. I mean, I think we established in Ragnarok that Thor and Hulk are destined to do this. They are the Steen and Owens, if you will.
Or yeah.
The Steen and...
Zane.
Zane, thank you very much. They are destined to do this forever.
In a world where Wolverine doesn't exist, or a universe where Wolverine doesn't exist...
Because I'm guessing, as a comic book reader, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm guessing Wolverine was somehow part of all this.
Well, so Wolverine got introduced... in a Hulk comic. So that's where the Wolverine comes in, and they're two immortal badasses that are polar opposites. The Hulk is huge and green, and Wolverine is tiny, like
human sized but invincible.
The Wolverine is supposed to be like 5'2". He's tiny. Like, Logan is a tiny individual. And he's not Hugh Jackman, who's like 6'2". Like, he's not. He's supposed to be a very small person.
Interesting.
And he's also immortal. I read a comic one time. It was Hulk versus Wolverine. And Wolverine gets ripped in half by the Hulk. And then the Hulk throws his legs on top of a mountain. And Logan's, it just ends with a Wolverine just like army crawling to find his legs.
Oh my God.
It was awesome. It's awesome. It's a ton of fun. And so, but this is that be in a world
Disney,
where.
Disney, do that.
Yeah. In a world where they don't have the rights to Wolverine.
Well, they do now.
Now they
Fuck
do.
They do now.
But in 2012,
Let's
they didn't.
Let's do that
yeah,
shit.
But yes, absolutely. But in a world in 2012 when they didn't. Thor did a great job. Yeah. Thor did a great job playing that, like, I am just as, I might not be as strong as you.
Puny God.
But I am just as much of a force as you are.
Right.
And so it was cool. It was so fun.
Right.
Hulk ends up getting distracted by a Harrier. And
again, this Hulk was the standout for me in this movie. Every time the Hulk, and I mean the Hulk, the green guy,
yeah,
not you know Bruce Banner, but the Hulk,
right,
was on screen, I was captivated. I was laughing. I was having a good time.
Right.
It was fantastic. All of us, like you said, all of a sudden a plane comes in, starts firing at him. He gets distracted, dives off from the pilot being panicked to shit, being like, okay, the green. He's at shit. He's coming. He's jumping right at me.
Yeah, right.
And then all of a sudden, Hulk just bear clawing apart this fucking plane.
Yeah.
Until it crash lands.
Yes, correct. Loki ends up escaping.
Of course.
He gets Thor out through the trap.
Again, Thor will never not
fall for that.
Fall for the fucking hologram thing.
Yeah, it's so funny.
He is the dumbest superhero ever.
Yeah, it's really funny.
I mean, in a superhero world with the Hulk, he is the dumbest one.
Right.
Because he falls for it every time.
All of them.
Every movie.
All of them.
Every single movie, he falls for the hologram.
Yeah, of course. And so now,
up to the latest.
Yeah.
He still hasn't fucking learned.
No, he hasn't. And so Agent Coulson steps in to try and stop Loki.
Right.
And that's where we get basically the inciting incident to get the team together. Because Coulson ends up falling for the hologram.
Of course, as you do.
And he got stabbed and he dies.
Probably one of the most violent scenes in all of the Disney Marvel cinematic universes.
Right.
The stab right through the
heart.
The heart of Coulson.
Yeah. That hits so hard. I remember that getting so... I remember that just hitting emotionally the way they intended it to.
In theaters, it got gasps.
Right.
It was. I saw this in theaters, and I was like...
Yeah. No!
There was a lot of...
Yeah, because
gasps.
He's been there since...
I can't
since,
do gasps.
Yeah. He's been there since day one.
Yeah.
You know, in all of these movies, he's been the through line for S.H.I.E.L.D.
And even in, again, as you said, if you hadn't had a backstory, even in the moral compass of just this movie, he's built himself up, you know, with the Cap cards and all that stuff.
Yeah, that he likes these people.
He likes these people and he
admires them.
He's representing the everyman.
Right. And so he's done a great, it hit real hard.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because he was cheaper than Samuel L. Jackson, so you could stick him in those movies.
Oh, well, yeah.
So now Loki escapes. He's going to have the Tesseract up on the roof. He's going to open this portal, and he's going to unleash this army, alien army, onto New York.
Yeah, something like that.
Basically, this is the thing. Nick Fury lies about the trading cards to get Cap to... get everything going.
Yep.
Scarlett Johansson, meanwhile, while all the commotion is happening, basically just hits Jeremy Renner's head really, really hard.
Imagine if anybody else figured out all you got to do is bludgeon somebody to get them off Loki's spell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Concussions do work.
Yeah, concussions work, people. Concussions work. And so the three of them go to take off in order to save the world.
Yeah.
And... then we have the huge New York brawl.
Jesus.
We have the very, very good exchange between Robert Downey Jr. With Iron Man and Loki.
Great scene.
At the Stark Tower. Well, Stark is trying to get his new set of armor.
Yep.
And they're just kind of comparing notes and kind of sizing each other up.
I have an army. We have a Hulk. You've all seen the trailer.
Yeah, right. And it does a great job. It does a good job. It's a fun little trailer piece. I don't think it really kind of does anything for like...
It stalls for a few minutes.
Right, and it's just...
And it's also very Tony Stark.
Right.
You know, it's very Tony Stark. He's very... braggadocious,
yeah,
if you will.
Yeah, braggadocious. XB hella braggadocious.
Where he's over his head, clearly.
Clearly.
He's overmatched, but he's...
Trying to swagger his way through it.
Still too confident for his own good. Yeah. Like, let's be honest. There's a strong chance. I'm saying a 6-foot chance that wasn't going to work.
Right.
Because he gets thrown out a window.
Right.
And he's hoping that these new bracelets that Jarvis has already told him we haven't field tested.
Yeah, right.
Are going to work.
It's all going to work.
Let's hope it all works.
Right.
He could have been an ink spot. Instead, he gets his shit together about 6 feet above a bunch of hipsters.
Correct. And so,
and AC/DC. Boom.
And so now the fight starts. Mm-hmm. And this fight sequence is killer.
Yep.
There are so many different layers to it that I know I'm not going to hit them all, but there's one that I absolutely love. It's after... So it starts after the sequence when Bruce Banner shows up. So all
on
of
the moped.
Yeah, Bruce Banner shows up on the moped because it's like that. Like,
we say much respect to Harry Dean Stanton for showing up in this fucking movie.
Yeah. Right. And so there's the part about like it's all hope is lost. Right. And then Banner shows up and there's the big, huge snake thing.
Yep.
And we get the coolest line in the movie where it's
which before they named it the Leviathan was called just Jumbo.
Okay. All right.
But they're like, we can't just call it.
Can't call it that. So his whole line
of... We can't call it Dumbo's mom.
We've been teasing it the whole movie about what his secret is as to how he can keep calm and not have the Hulk.
Right.
And you end up finding out that he's like, I'm always angry. Right. And immediately turns into the Hulk and just knocks this thing out. It's the coolest part in the movie, hands down.
Again, the Hulk stole this movie.
Right.
In so many ways.
And so now they're fighting, and they're just kicking the shit out of everything, right? And the scene where it's just like a one take, where they're just flying around the city, and everybody's kicking ass in some way, shape, or form. It's kind of just following Tony as he's like flying with Avenger.
But you're seeing Hawkeye shoot people. Arrow. You're seeing Scarlet do her thing. You're seeing Captain hit people with a shield. You're seeing Thor with the hammer.
And Hulk destroy.
And Hulk just flies across it with another person.
Right. And so it's such a cool like pseudo one take.
Sure.
That's probably the coolest shot in this fight sequence.
Computers.
Yeah, computers. So while all that's going on, the government has decided they're going to nuke New York City.
Yeah, of course, the evil government, even back in 2012, suck.
Yeah, they're faceless,
too. They were faceless, but I got to throw it out to one of my favorite character actors who's dead now. Powers Booth played the lead of that.
Senator, the lead senator.
Dude. Powers Booth fucking rocks,
crushed
dude.
It.
In Deadwood, has Curly Bill in Tombstone, in Sin City.
Yeah.
Fucking Powers Booth is awesome.
Sure, sure.
And God
absolutely.
Bless him.
And so, now, Tony
Stark... But yes, they decide to blow up New York City.
And so...
Manhattan.
So basically what they figured out that they have to use the spear in order to stop the Tesseract, to close the portal.
Well, yeah, because Stellan Skarsgård apparently got hit on the head. I don't remember exactly how he forgot his...
Iron Man tries to blow it up, and when he shoots the
cube... So that knocks him?
He gets thrown into a wall.
Right.
He gets thrown into a wall and hits his head very hard.
He does.
And so Tony Stark...
So he's looking down over the ledge and be like, oh, well, if you get that thing, we can put it into this thing
and then
can stop this whole deal.
Right. And so then basically
Tony
Stark...
really.
Right. It's just going to close the portal.
Just going to close the portal.
And so Tony Stark picks up the nuke as it's launching.
And they launch a nuke.
And so he grabs it and basically redirects it back up into the portal. And it's scary looking in there. It's,
yeah.
It's absolutely scary looking in there. There's so many weird monsters up there.
Yep.
And blows up the mothership. And much like Independence Day, he blew up the mothership and everything dies.
And again, this was something that Josh Whedon kind of cleared up in the commentary, but he also kind of just kind of pushed over. He's like, what were we supposed to do? Make him fight for 17 more hours?
Yeah, right.
He was, yeah, just kill him. Just that stops everything.
Right. I know, like,
we needed to end the fucking movie.
Right. I always
they had to get shawarma.
Yeah, right. I put like mentally the way that I kind of like okayed it. At least for myself, was, yeah, they blew up the mothership, and that was controlling whatever atmosphere thing.
Right.
Because they can't just show up on Earth.
I mean, you can justify it.
I justified it mentally.
Any way you want to.
I also justified it.
The fact was they just needed to end the goddamn
They just
movie.
Needed to end the fight. Right. Yeah, right. And then it leads to the shawarma line where he's just like, I saw this shawarma joint. I have no idea what it is.
Again, brilliantly improvised by Robert Downey.
And the best part is that did so much for shawarma.
It really did.
I remember running out
that
after.
That whole fucking scene wasn't even in most of the initial run.
Right.
It wasn't put in there. They filmed it after the goddamn premiere.
Right.
The whole reason Captain America has his arm
over
his face
so hard.
No, is he's got a full beard.
Oh.
He had a full
somebody's
beard.
Somebody's laughing.
Oh, Thor's laughing his ass off.
Somebody's laughing.
But Captain America had to sit there with his arm over his face because they filmed it. They went to the premiere
right
in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Went across the street to a fucking restaurant. Fucked that restaurant all up. Put their costumes on. And Chris Evans sat there because he had a full beard with his arm over his face because he was playing Captain America.
That's so funny.
That's one of my favorite things. It's like they just tacked that shit on.
And so then basically the day wraps up. They all go home, high five and leave. And
we do get a Thanos post credit.
Yeah, where he's like
smirking.
Yeah,
not Josh Brolin. Thanos.
Yeah, it's not Josh Brolin yet.
It's a digital Thanos. It's not a Josh Brolin Thanos, which
yet
has been friggin' awesome in all the trailers.
Yeah,
by the way.
And so yeah, and that's it. That's Avengers.
That's the 2012
Avengers.
Yeah. I mean, we have now Infinity War coming up
on Friday.
This coming week. Cannot wait.
So excited.
I mean, it's set to pretty much bust up every single record.
Yeah, this is the biggest movie of the year.
Easily.
It's going to be shocking if this movie is anything but disappointing. They've done such a great job heightening the films, right? So the stakes have gotten so high.
Right.
And everybody that's going to be involved, the only people that I feel are going to be weird inserted into this are the Netflix people, right? They're in it.
Really?
They're in it.
Are you saying that as fact?
Yes, they're on the IMDb.
Really?
At least Daredevil. Daredevil is in it.
Huh.
And so it's like
just Daredevil.
He I know for a fact is in it. And so the other ones I'm not 100% on. But the point is it's just like, they're the only group of people that don't fit into the overall arching story. Everything else does.
I mean, the whole arching story is kind of fucked up because you got, you know, Guardians coming in from space. And
right.
Where does the timeline all kind of sync up?
Right. Well, it all syncs up to this point because we're all at the same point now because Guardians run into Thor.
Sure.
And they run into Thor because they're just traveling around space.
I guess.
The thing that I'm really interested in is how does this affect the universe as we know it? How does this make everything going forward? Because
this seems like a giant, just to me, a throwaway bridge gap between Guardians 2 and Guardians 3. It's not really an important movie.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right, and I didn't think about it that way.
This is just teen Groot getting to grown-up Groot.
You're right. I didn't even think about it that way. It's just going to be very interesting because so many people's contracts and now the fact that they own the X-Men, it's going to be interesting.
Well, that alone will be interesting. I think most of it, because a lot of the main, if you will, Avengers contracts do end at Avengers 4, what is currently titled.
Yeah.
So you got Captain America, Thor, Iron Man, I believe.
Right.
I don't know about Hulk, but those three have gone on record as being like, yeah, we're done at the next movie.
Yeah. Now, Infinity War Part 2.
Now, Infinity War Part 2 is Avengers 4, whatever they're going to call it. But now, that being said, Robert Downey Jr. has been done 3 times.
Oh, already. Yes. Yeah.
So there's always a way to work
it's called
shit
money.
Out. It is called money.
It's called money.
It's called tens of millions of dollars for mere months of work.
Yeah. Yeah. It's called money. Yeah. That's money talks. You know, so that's
Chris Evans might want to go on vacation after Avengers 4, but that doesn't mean by Avengers 5, Captain America won't be swinging that shield.
Yeah, right. So I'm excited for that movie. I think it's going to be great. We'll have to recap it on next week's That Movie Show because
I'm
assuming we're both going to see it opening weekend. So we'll definitely have our spoiler-free thoughts. You know what I mean? Because
we'll see how much I drink.
Yeah, we'll see how much you drink. But
as far as the show is concerned,
yes.
Next week, because this week it came out yesterday, Friday.
Yes,
2 days ago, 4:20. That's all I know. 4:20, yeah. Man. All right. Super Troopers 2 came out.
I did see it.
You did see it.
I saw it.
I have seen it. I actually saw it with the cast.
I wish I did.
And it was fucking hilarious.
It was so funny. Let's do Super Troopers 1 and 2.
So we're going to do Super Troopers next weekend with a whole lot of Super Troopers 2 piled in there.
Great. Sounds good.
Sounds good?
Sounds good.
All right. This is That Movie Show. I am Mike Wendt, Liam NAI, Bill Neville NAI. You can follow us all on Twitter.
Yeah.
And wherever else you can find That Movie
New Age
Show.
Insiders, New Age Insiders.
Do the
Pop.
Deal.
Bill Neville, NAI.
I did him. Liam,
I know.
I did him.
He's part of it. You got to follow
part of it.
I did him.
I know you
Bill
did.
Bill Neville, NAI.
That was for me. It wasn't for you.
Fucking do your own gimmicks? God damn.
I know. I got to mentally.
I did it already.
I know you did.
He doesn't get to do them on the regular show.
Yeah.
Who gives a shit? This is my show.
It's our fucking network. Yeah. Anyway.
I said your name.
Beat it.
Check out For the Pops for that.
Yeah, sure.
Check out For the Pops for the Marvel movie bracket show. It was a ton of fun. Go check it out. It's on Facebook as well as New Age Insiders Pop on Twitter and iTunes. Is.
All forms of podcasting. I just actually found out you guys are on Google Play Music. You can find New Age Insiders Pop on Google Play Music.
And Spotify.
For my fellow Androiders.
All right.
There
so let's
go.
Get on out of here.
Bill, you can cut us anytime you want to.
Bye, everybody.